Wasn't it great seeing the kids up here? Man, I love that. I love our kids. Man, that's awesome. And what about our kids' ministry volunteers? I mean, let's give it up for them. Carrie and Jen and the team that they lead, they do an amazing job, man. I love having young families. I love seeing kids up here. It just reminds me that this church has life. There's life. And we understand keeping the kids in here could get a little chaotic today. And you know what? That's okay. Because chaos is signs of life, right? It's better than death. It's better than no signs of life at all. So if it gets a little loud, that's all right. We're going to, you know, we're just going to keep right on trucking. And don't worry about me. I don't get that distracted anyway. So I love this Sunday. It's one of my favorites. I will tell you, I know it's a little chaotic. It's a little bit of work turning this room. We cram ourselves in here. But I do want you to take just a moment. Look around you. Take a moment. Look around. Yeah. We get so tunnel vision sometimes. This is your Ashworth family. These are some of the people you don't see all the time. I love seeing the kids. What about this worship team? Oh my goodness. Wow. An amazing job. And these guys are up here week in and week out just reminding us that God's presence is with us. And this is the season of the year for a bit of reflection. How many of you at your Thanksgiving feast do that, where you have to go around the table maybe and say something you're thankful for? Anybody do that? Anybody have something similar to that? Maybe. Oh, Jaden, yes, you're exactly right. You do that at our house every year. Did you see that hand? It was like going to break off his arm. He was proudly putting that up. It's great when we stop, when we reflect, when we look back, we think about God's faithfulness in the past. But we also hopefully take a moment to look to maybe where we're going and consider God's provision for our future. Recently, I was thinking about the story of Moses. I was praying one morning and this story came to mind. I love the story of Moses. There's so much that's going on in there. But on this day, what came to my mind was this specific instance where Moses interacted with God. And you're able to see in this interaction the relationship that God had with Moses. And it's stuck with me for several weeks, like just in times where I'm just walking or sitting at my desk or whatever, this passage just keeps coming back over and over again. And I thought, maybe this is something I'm supposed to reflect with you on this morning. If you look at Exodus 33 in verse 7, look at what it says here. It says, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at their entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." Does that sound important to you guys? Sounds significant to you guys? Yeah, me too. As I read this, I was reminded of God's faithfulness. Can you imagine being Moses in this moment? Think about how Moses' story began, and not just how he was saved as a child, raised in Pharaoh's house, but also just from the time that he was called by God to step back in and called by God to lead the people out. I mean, the people were enslaved by the Egyptians. They wanted their freedom, but the Egyptians just continued to make it hard on them. God provided for them, raising up Moses as a leader, and then there were the 10 plagues that led Pharaoh to finally saying, "Fine, leave, get out of here." They exited the country, they got to the Red Sea, the Lord parted the Red Sea, they walked across, and then as their enemies are coming after them, the sea collapses in, and their enemies are defeated. In this moment, what we just read, they're sitting camped at the foot of Mount Sinai, where Moses goes up to the top of the mountain to get God's law for them, how they should be as God's people. And all along this journey, God is reminding them of the promised land that he's providing for them that's coming up. Just continue to follow. But in this passage that we just read, there's something so significant taking place. You see, what we find here between God and Moses is a relationship. Think about how most people interacted with God in the ancient Near East or in older, you know, mythological religions even. How would the gods interact with humanity? It was never good. It was never pleasant. It was always humanity was created by the gods for their playthings, to have play, you know, use them for sport, to antagonize them, to tease them, to not bless them, to not encourage them. This was the prevailing mindset of what gods were about. They weren't our friend. They were there to, you know, for us to twist ourselves in knots to get them to help us if they might. But most likely they won't, because they just like to toy with us. That was the prevailing mindset. And yet here we see something very different. God is speaking to Moses. What's driving that is a relationship. There's love, there's concern, there's a dialogue, there's conversation. I imagine here in this moment, Moses must have had time to reflect, thinking about where they'd come from, where they've been, what they've endured, and more importantly, who was responsible for all this. You don't have to look very far to see who is the one that was responsible. It was God. It was God's hand. And this reflection reminds Moses and us of some very important things. Some things I think we can reflect on as we move to the season of Thanksgiving, which begins with this: where are you? A couple of weeks ago in a message, I asked that question, have you ever stopped to think about how did you get where you are? And we talked about the small choices that lead us to the place. But when you take a step back and you go to that 30,000 foot view, have you ever stopped to look at the dots in your life and begin to connect that thread and then begin to look and say, I wonder how I got here? Was it my genius? Was it my ingenuity? Was it my creativity? Was it my, you know, relationships, my connections that got me here? Or when you look back, do you look and you say, huh, I'm only here because God led me here? Moses, in this moment, as he's meeting with God at the base of Mount Sinai, later in this passage, he goes up to the top, he encounters God again, and he has to look and reflect and say, the only reason we are where we are is because God has brought us here. We can trace the movement of God, his hand, his work in our lives. God's working not to manipulate us like a puppet, but in this moment, he shows us that our life hasn't been some random, inconsequential series of events along the way. Yeah. That our lives, that God has been moving. He's been revealing himself to us. He's been showing us his work in the world and inviting us to join him in what he's doing. We didn't get here because we're so great. We got here because God is so good. And that's what led us here. God leads us. Not only that, but in this passage, in these short verses with Moses and God, we see something else. God loves us. God loves Moses. God loved the people. Think about the people as they were traveling on this journey. They were a grumpy people. They complained a ton. Not like us, who are so grateful and we'd never see the donut hole, Carrie. I don't know who that message was for. Certainly not for us. But along that journey, what did the children of Israel, what did they encounter? They got thirsty, and they complain about thirst, and God says, that's fine, I'll provide you some water. They say, oh, you brought us out here to starve, we're so hungry, like most of our toddlers do at home. And what does God do? He provides manna from heaven, bread from heaven. And then they're like, oh, we're so sick of this, God. We're tired of you providing for us every day. We want something else. And God says, fine, and he brings quail. He gives them meat to eat. He gives them victory over their enemies along the way, and eventually they find their rest in the promised land. Well, at least for a moment, until they turn their back on God. What do we see there? God loves us. We think back, we reflect, and we see, how has God met our needs? How has he blessed us? Maybe not in the way our culture considers blessing to be, but in better ways than what our culture sees blessing to be. God has shown his love. I love this passage with Moses, because a little bit later, Moses is very bold, and we'll talk about it in a moment too, but Moses says, you know, God, I want you to show me your glory. And you know what? God says all his goodness would pass in front of Moses. And Moses saw God, and he describes it this way in Exodus 34. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. What else do we need to hear that God loves us? We could stop there and we would have enough reason to worship. But this isn't even where it ends, because did you notice that God calls Moses something? What did he call him? He said, friend. He spoke to Moses as a friend. Stop and think about that. What does that mean? That God spoke to Moses. And I believe by extension, he speaks to us as he speaks to a friend. I mean, even when we weren't interested in God, when we considered God our enemy, he still loved us. He sent his son Jesus to die for us. And even Jesus, before he left the earth, meeting with his disciples in John 15, he says this. He says, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends. Think about, just sit in that moment, sit in that thought for just a moment. God calls you his friend. Does that mean anything? Is that significant? It is to me. And that leads me to what I believe is one of the other things we see here in this moment with Moses and God, seeing God's faithfulness, is that not just he calls us friend, he says he knows Moses' name. God knows your name. What does that mean? As I was thinking about this, I thought back. I'm sure none of you had this experience, but I remember junior high school, maybe it was high school for you, college possibly, where you had that person that you were interested in, but they were way out of your league. Now, some of us got to marry that person. Not all of you were that fortunate. But you know that, you know what I'm talking about? You just, and you'd pass them in the hallway, and they'd never look your way. But then one day something happens, and you don't know, God smiled upon you evidently, and you're passing that person in the hallway, and they look at you and they go, Brent. Oh. Is that significant? That's absolutely significant. You think you're living a dream in that moment. Oh my gosh, they know my name. They know I exist. God knows your name. God knows you exist. God knows everything about you. And he loves you anyway. He knows what makes you tick. He knows the ups and the downs of your story. And he is personally involved in your life. And he's inviting us to this incredibly unique and special relationship with him. As we read through this passage, and we'll read a little bit more later, in Exodus 34, you see that Moses has a reaction to encountering God this way. It says this, Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. You see, that's the only appropriate response. When God has revealed himself to us, when we look back and when we see the hand of God on us and on our lives, and when we realize just how much we are loved, just how much his grace has saved us, just how good he has been to us, what else can we do but worship? You know, you keep reading in Exodus 33, and you see this interaction between God and Moses, it continues. There's a little bit of a back and forth. It's a conversation that we're let in on. And what's significant is that God isn't just giving Moses, go do this, Moses. Moses has an opportunity to actually respond and even ask some questions along the way. And God indulges him and responds to him. Moses wants to know about the future. What's this going to look like? And God responds and God shows him, says, look, I'll provide for you. God shows him his provision. In verse 12, we read this, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. And another verse later, it says, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Look at God's response. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. God's reminder to him is a reminder to us today that we are not alone. The days that we face ahead as we look forward to a new year, whatever that may bring, we are not traveling alone. God is with you. What God is calling you to do, what God is calling us to do, God is in the midst of. And we have to remember that. What can we not do if God is with us? What limits us if God is with us? You individually and us as a church. The world has seen time and time and time again what is possible when even just a handful of people who have sold out to God and commit themselves to the way of Jesus, they can turn the world upside down. And that is what the world needs now. Moses has another request. Look at this. Moses looks, and we mentioned this one earlier. Moses said to God, "Now show me your glory." What a prayer. Talk about a bold request. I mean, if I was God, I could almost, I know we're all glad I'm not. But if I was God, you could almost hear somebody making this request and going, show you my glory. Oh, you sad little man. Do you not know who I am? I'm the God Almighty. I'm the creator of all. My words speak life into existence. Who do you think you are to ask me to see my glory? How dare you? But that's not what the reaction we see from God. Moses makes this incredibly bold request. God, show me your glory. And God says to him, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. Moses says, God, will you show me your glory? And God says, you know what? I will. I will show you my glory. I wonder sometimes, are we asking for this? Are we praying this bold of a prayer? When was the last time that you prayed something like this and asked God to reveal himself to you, to us? What if God is desiring? What if God is waiting for someone, or even better, a group of someones who are just bold enough to come before him and pray a prayer like this? God, show me your glory. And I get it. This can be one of the most frightening prayers we could ever pray. Do you know why? Because what if he doesn't? But I think we see time and time again he will. But the real question is, what if he does? Isn't that the more frightening thing? Because who can enter the presence of God and leave the same way? No one. Certainly not Moses. Take a look at what happened to Moses. Exodus 34, Moses went up to the mountain, he gets the new tablets, and he comes down from Mount Sinai with the tablets of the covenant law in his hands, and he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. You see, when we've been with the Lord, when we've spoken with him as a friend speaks with a friend, our lives will be transformed, our lives will be changed. It won't just be shining faces, it'll be shining lives in our community. As I was typing these thoughts on Wednesday of this past week, I got a text from one of my pastor friends, and he was telling me, he says, guess what my most popular page on my church website is? And I said, I have no idea. He says, you're not going to believe the top two. He says, the first one is the judgment to come. Well, that's a fascinating read. And he said, the second one was when God is silent. And he followed it up with these words. He said, the world is getting very dark. A great time to be shining out the light. You see, the only way this happens is by spending time with him. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Seeking his glory. Asking for his light to shine through us. And what I think we get caught up in sometimes is we think if we can just have the right clever marketing scheme, or if we can come up with cool pyrotechnics, or if we can get this really cool bait and switch messaging going on, then that'll be what does it. And all that does is give us a pseudo or a fake glory that doesn't last and doesn't change. What's required is the people of God in the presence of God, living as the people of Jesus, in the way of Jesus, as the apprentices of Jesus. And this is done through the narrow way of the cross. There's nothing I can do to make my face, my life shine on its own. It only comes from living a life in the presence of God and experiencing his glory. But what I love about this is if we are bold enough to ask, God is bold enough to say, great, I'll show you my glory. And this is where we have to consider our response. You see, in this moment where all these things relationally are going on with God and Moses, and at the moment God was upset with the people and God, Moses intercedes for them and all this, it would have been easy for Moses to go, you know what, God, I'm just tired right now. I've had enough. I've experienced all of you that I need. But he didn't. Moses leaned in And even when he sees God's glory, he doesn't back up. He continues to lean in and he continues to ask for more. God, show me your glory. But you know, we get a different response from the people. When Moses comes down the mountain, well, just look at it. It'll be on the screen. It says, when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, that his face was radiant, they were afraid to come near him. They were afraid. They kind of pushed Moses forward and said, you know, you go. You go experience the presence of God, and then you can come back and tell us how it is, because that scares us over there. Moses says, you know what, I want more. And the people said, you know what, we're good with hearing other people's stories. We're good with a secondhand faith. And I'm afraid sometimes we become good with a secondhand faith. Are we willing to lean in? Are we willing to pray the bold prayer? Are we willing to be wholly discontent with anything less than the absolute presence of God and his power in our lives and in our church? I don't want a secondhand faith. I don't want to talk about stories from 20 years ago. I want that to be now. I want this to be a place where we come and we share these stories every day because we're bold enough to say, God, show me your glory. And you know what? God's just bold enough to do it. He's just strong enough and powerful enough to knock us off our feet every day with the power of his presence in our lives. I don't want to be like the people. I don't want to be afraid of what God can do. I want to lean in and I want to experience all of God just like Moses did. And I get it. It can be scary. It's risky. It requires us taking these steps of faith. But you know what gets us there? It is the story from yesterday. Because it's God's faithfulness in the past is what gives us our hope for the future. Has God ever let us down? No. Maybe didn't give us exactly what we want, but did we always get God? Yes, God will continue to do that. What he's done before, he will do again. He not only knows his name, we know his name. We've seen, we've experienced, we've encountered, we know who he is. And what we've seen him do before, we will see him do again. And as we consider his faithfulness to us this past year, I ask you this question, what are you seeking now? What are we seeking now? As we're about to turn the page on a new year, will we cower in fear like the people did? Will we get caught up in the cultural fear that exists around us? Will we let the outrage of the culture consume us? Or we, with boldness, will we pray as Moses prayed, dear God, show me your glory? Will we be content playing church? Or will we settle for nothing less than encountering the presence of the living God? Will we keep doing what we've always done? Or will we bang on the doors of heaven, crying out for God to renew his people, to shine the light of his presence into me, into you, into this community, and into this world through our lives? What about you? I want more. I want to stand up and say, God, show me your glory. You want to pray that too? Let's stand up.
So just want to take a minute in this service and this time together to reflect. And I give you a minute to talk to the one who calls you his friend. So I invite you, just where you are, if you want to sit back down, you can. Just where you are, close your eyes maybe so you can focus on him. And just review in your mind, how have you experienced or seen God's faithfulness recently? How have you been led by God? Maybe that struck you. You've been like, yeah, God guided me here. I didn't get here on my own. How have you felt his presence with you? Have you experienced his love? Maybe that resonated with you just that moment that Brent shared of being noticed. Oh, God, you see me and you know me. Just take a moment. Reflect. as these thoughts come to your mind, where you've seen God's faithfulness, where you've felt seen or known by Him, take a moment just where you are quietly and thank Him. Take a moment right now in the middle of this time together and just say, thank you, God. Express your gratitude to Him. Thank God for how He's been faithful in the past. We also look to the future. So maybe take a moment and consider what's ahead for you. Thinking about your family, your health, your work, all the events that lie ahead, the to-do lists, joys and the challenges, the struggles that await you, the delight that awaits you. Spend a moment just anticipating all that's to come. God that has led you, called you friend, been with you, gotten you through some of the toughest times, is the same God who goes ahead with you, who walks with you in the future. So take a moment again, and where you are, just tell Him thank you. Thank you for what you will do, what you're going to do. And ask Him even, remind me, God, remind me, future me, that You are with me. You will be with me. God, in this moment, we are grateful. And like Carrie reminded us this morning, our gratitude does not have to be dependent on our circumstances, whether we're feeling delighted or not. God, we are grateful for the ways You have called us Your own, called us friend, the ways You know us, walk with us, carry us. God, help us to hold on to those things in the days ahead, to remember Your faithfulness. Let us not forget Your faithfulness, Your goodness. Keep us as a people who remember and are grateful. We love You, Jesus.